Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is a response of the day for the 14th of Adar. Now, we all know that the 14th of Adar is Purim, and so I don't really expect that most of you are listening to this on the 14th of Adar. If you are, I greatly appreciate it that in the course of your busy Purim days, you're setting aside time to share some Torah with me, and I thank you for it, and I'd love to hear from you that you did so, because it would thrill me. So my email is groths@gmail.com, grothst, the first letters of my last name until the second T in my last name, @gmail.com. But because it's Purim, I wasn't sure people would be listening on that day anyway. It was suggested to me by Rabbi Jack Abramowitz, who is the force of the OU, who helps me put up these responses, and I should really have been thanking him on these audios much more than I have been. So he suggested that you will have something there in case people come to it later. And of course, I hope to one day put this all into a book, which will have a comprehensive collection of tshuvot for as many of the days of the Jewish calendar as I can. So for the 10th of Tishrei, for example, which is Yom Kippur, nobody ever wrote a response on Yom Kippur itself or dated to Yom Kippur. I have a drasha that the Tzitzit Lezer gave on a Yom Kippur. So I have things like that. So here too, I didn't look for tshuvot written on the 14th of Adar. I think there are some, but not many. But I found the tshuva instead by Rabbi Pesach Frank about the 14th of Adar, and it raises a set of very interesting questions. This is from Shut Har Tzvi. Rabbi Pesach Frank, let's remember, is a Rav who was born in the late 1800s, 1875, I think, and he moved to Yerushalayim at a relatively young age, and he became eventually the Rav of Yerushalayim, was the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim for decades, and then he passed away in like 1960. He lived a long life, maybe even later, maybe 63. So his tshuvot are called Shut Har Tzvi, and in the Orach Chaim section of Har Tzvi, in the second volume of that, the second time he comes to that, in Siman Kuf Yud Chet, response number 118, he starts a series of tshuvot. We're only going to get to one of them. We're not going to even have done all of it. A series of tshuvot dealing with the question of how you define who counts as a Jew of the 14th of Adar and who counts as a Jew of the 15th of Adar, meaning written already into the Megillah itself, you have the distinction between Jews who live in unwalled cities and they celebrate Purim on the 14th of Adar, and Jews who live in walled cities who celebrate it on the 15th of Adar. The Gemara tells us that the definition of walled cities is walled for the time Yehoshua ben Nun, so that creates all sorts of interesting questions that I found in other places as well. There was a tradition, I think I'm going to get to it in another Shabbat that we'll see together, about that in Prague. They would read the Megillah on both days because they thought Prague had had a wall. They thought it was possible that Prague had had a wall way back in the time Yehoshua ben Nun. So whatever the historical element of that is, these questions come up, but they come up even more for Jews living in Israel, because in Israel you have Yerushalayim, which is clearly a walled city, and the tradition was a walled city from the time of Yehoshua ben Nun, and therefore they would read Megillah they do read the Megillah on the 15th, and so then you have all sorts of questions as to how you define people, because let's suppose that somebody from Tel Aviv, I'm going to use those just as the example, somebody from Tel Aviv is in Yerushalayim on the 14th and 15th of Adar. It seems fairly clear that that person that year celebrates Purim on the 15th, not the 14th, because we have this halacha called a mukaf ben yomo is considered a mukaf, and a parus ben yomo is considered a parus. That somebody who's in an unwalled city for the day of Purim is considered a resident of an unwalled city, and therefore he would celebrate Purim like the unwalled city people, and somebody who's in a walled city will celebrate it like that. Question happens, how does that get defined? And that's what this tshuva is going to talk about. Later tshuva will talk about other issues within all these questions. So it's like a series of four or five of them, and they're long. So Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank really sort of found an area of halacha that had not been well defined and tried to carve out an understanding of that area. So for our discussion, he says a lot of people who travel to Yerushalayim or the other way around, and they might happen to spend one day of Purim not in their place, and they don't know how to handle it. So, for example, let's say I'm an ordinarily resident of Yerushalayim, and I happen to spend the 14th of Adar in Tel Aviv. Do I have to celebrate Purim in Tel Aviv? And then if I go back to Tel Aviv, to Yerushalayim that afternoon, do I have to celebrate Purim again or not? Or the other way around. Let's say I'm from Tel Aviv and I'm in Yerushalayim. Now, let's say I'm in Yerushalayim from Tel Aviv. I'm in Yerushalayim all day and all night of the 14th of Adar. So the 14th of Adar at night, when the people in Tel Aviv are reading Megillah, I'm in Yerushalayim. The 14th of Adar during the day, when people in Tel Aviv are reading Megillah, eating their seudah, giving their, I'm in Yerushalayim. But that, before night comes, I go back to Tel Aviv already. So what will happen then? So those kinds of issues are what this responsum is going to discuss, trying to figure out how you explain these issues, how you clarify these issues. Shulchan Aruch Tafresh Pei Chet paragraph 5 quotes the language of the Rambam in great brevity, he says, and it's not so clear how you handle all these different permutations of how it is. And the Mishnah Berurah doesn't have a long thing, he says, and therefore he thinks he needs to clarify this further. And he thinks that the reason why he didn't get a lot of treatment until now was that in Klutz La'aretz, it's not really so relevant. It's not so many walled cities, and if there are so many walled cities, there are not so many people traveling back and forth from them on or around Purim. So he says that maybe that's why the Ramah didn't comment on this as well, and didn't speak about the fact that there are Rishonim who disagree with the Rambam on this question. But in Yerushalayim, you have this issue, so therefore he wants to get to it. So that's what he's going to do. So the opinion of Rashi was, that's what he starts with. The opinion of Rashi was, I'm sorry, he starts with the Gemara, where the Gemara says that Rava says that the whole idea of, the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, if you're in a place, but you plan to go back to, so I'm sorry, the Mishnah says that a Ben Ir went to a person from an old walled city, which is called an Ir, to a Krach, which is a walled city, or the other way around. If they're going to go back to their place, they read like their place. And the Gemara Rava says that that is talking about when you're going to go back the night of the 14th. So that might have meant that if you're going to go back the night of the 14th, what are you going to go back on the day of the 14th? So are you going to tell me that if a person is in Tel Aviv, a Jerusalem resident is in Tel Aviv for the night of the 14th and comes back on the day of the 14th, comes back to Yerushalayim, that he won't celebrate Purim in Yerushalayim on the 15th? Is that what it means? So that's the question. So Tzvi Pesach Frank lays out some of the areas of debate. One is, there's a debate about if you have a Tel Aviv resident, if he goes to Yerushalayim, does he become like a Yerushalmi for the purposes of Purim for that year? Is that a 14th of Adar issue or not a 14th of Adar issue? And that'll depend. Meaning, theoretically, you could say, well, if the Jerusalem resident were in Tel Aviv on the 14th, he would be defined as a Tel Aviv resident. So if the Tel Aviv resident is the Jerusalem resident on the 14th, maybe that would be the same thing. Or you might say, no, in Jerusalem, it's not relevant yet. So that's one issue that's going to come up. And then there's another debate that goes on in the Rishonim about whether it depends on machshava, what he's thinking about, what doing, where he plans to be somewhere, or it's only about whether he happens to be. So the opinion of Rashi. So we're going to just lay out some of the opinions, and then we're going to end, meaning he's not going to come to firm conclusions in this tshuva about what these things are, and lay out the opinions and talk about the options for how it works. So the opinion of Rashi was that wherever you're found on the 14th, that the idea that wherever you're found on the 14th establishes your status for that Purim is only about a Jerusalem resident who goes to Tel Aviv, let's say, to a place where they're reading it on the 14th. So for that person, Rashi understands the Gemara to mean that anybody who's found in Tel Aviv on the 14th, it's Purim for them, they have to keep Purim. But a Tel Aviv resident went to Jerusalem, so the fact that he's in Jerusalem on the 14th, Rashi holds, you can't say that that makes him like a Jerusalem resident, because the people in Jerusalem, for them, Purim isn't even an issue yet. It hasn't come up yet as an issue because their Purim is the 15th. So how could it be, you tell me, that by virtue of being in Jerusalem on the 14th, you become chayav like a 15th resident, and if you're going back before the 15th, that you'd still be a 15th resident? So he says, so Rashi holds, v'lachein kol leil tedvav biyado lachzor le'iro. For all the night of the 15th, meaning until you spent the whole night of the 15th in Jerusalem, you can still think of yourself as a Tel Aviv resident and go back to Tel Aviv and not have to read in Jerusalem on the 15th. And therefore, he would have to read on the 14th. So that would mean, according to Rashi, that if you had a person like this, for whatever reason, a Tel Aviv resident is spending the 14th in Jerusalem, and they have to be there, they can't get around it, or they just decide to be there, and they're going back the night of the 15th or sometime before daybreak on the 15th, they would read Megillah on the 14th, even though they're still in Jerusalem. Meaning that according to Rashi, you'd have people in Jerusalem reading the Megillah and acting as if it's Purim, right? For them, it would be Purim, even though they're in Jerusalem. And agreeing with Rashi is, there's a Ramban in the Milchamot, says Rashi Pesach Frank, there's a Ritva in Eskidushim, and the Ritva in Eskidushim mentioned those who say that the 14th is Koveya for everybody. Wherever you are on the 14th, that's what you are for that year, and that's how you have to read it. So even if you went back to Tel Aviv before the 15th was over, you'd have to read Megillah on the 15th, according to that opinion, according to this non-Rashi opinion, you'd have to read Megillah on the 15th in Tel Aviv. But the Ritva disagrees. And the Ritva says exactly what we said before, that how could it be that if the people in Jerusalem have no sense of Purim yet, it's not their holiday yet, that we could say that you've become required to be defined as a Mukaf Ben Yomo, as somebody who's residing in Jerusalem for this year's Purim festivities just because of the 14th. So why not the 13th? So that's what the Ritva holds. Magamish and the Kesh think that that's the Rambam's opinion as well, like Rashi, and so too like the Vilna Gaon. And so too does the Vilna Gaon in his Beor on Shulchan Aruch. So that's one broad set of opinions, is that when we say that a Prazi ben Yomo Nikra Prazi, that a person who's living in an open city, even just for that day, counts as a prazi. That's true, because if you're so, wherever you are on the 14th, I'm sorry, if you're in an unwalled city on the 14th, you have to celebrate Purim with those people on the 14th, because Purim is hit. You're there, and therefore you have to celebrate Purim with them. That's what Rashi would understand the Gemara to mean primarily. So therefore, if a person from Jerusalem happens to be in Tel Aviv on the 14th, they have to celebrate Purim on the 14th. Then when they get back to their own city, we'll get to that in a little bit. But if a resident from Tel Aviv is in Jerusalem, so these people hold, that doesn't, on the 14th only, that doesn't turn him into a Jerusalem resident, because it's not Purim in Jerusalem yet, so there's no reason to, there's no mechanism. And that person, therefore, if that person plans to be back in Tel Aviv before the morning of the 15th, that person would be required to celebrate Purim in Jerusalem. I mean, they'd read Megillah to themselves in Jerusalem, because that's their Purim. The Rosh, however, disagrees. The Rosh holds the Kviat Chalot Chiyuv HaMegillah. This is like the opinion that the Ritva rejected. The Rosh says it straight out, that the obligation, what establishes the obligation in what day you read the Megillah, is on the 14th. And wherever you are on the 14th, at the beginning of the 14th, that's who you are for that Purim. That's the Rosh's opinion. So again, you know, the logic behind Rashi was clear, that the 14th doesn't make sense to have it count in terms of a Jerusalem resident. Sorry, in terms of a Tel Aviv resident who's in Jerusalem for the day, because 14th doesn't mean anything in Yerushalayim. The Rosh apparently holds, in contrast, that it's not true, that since in the whole rest of the world it's Purim on the 14th, then it's Purim in Jerusalem too, which is not the Purim the Jerusalemites observe, and therefore a Tel Aviv resident who's in Jerusalem on the 14th becomes a Jerusalem resident, and therefore would have to keep the 15th as Purim, and apparently even if he already went back to his own city on the 15th. The Tor, says Rav Yitzchak Frank, seems to hold like the Rosh. He just writes the Rosh's view, and the Ravid seems to agree. The Ravid has Hasagot on the Rif. He's agreeing the Lavush and the Eliyahu Rabbahs. In other words, there is a broad machloket about this question as to how you define these things. So Rav Yitzchak Frank says, I noticed a Prima Gadim, which is a later commentary on Shulchan Aruch, who had argued that according to those who say that the 14th establishes who you are, like the Rosh, the people who say that the 14th establishes who you are for that Purim as a whole. So if you're in Yerushalayim on the 14th, then you count as a Yerushalayim resident for Purim that year. So the Prima Gadim had said that's only, he thinks, the day of the 14th. But that the 15th wouldn't do it. Meaning the Prima Gadim was saying, let's suppose I have a person from Tel Aviv who's in Tel Aviv on the 14th, so therefore clearly they'll keep Purim, and then they go to Yerushalayim for the 15th. Are they now obligated to partake of Purim in Yerushalayim? Meaning, until now, we've been talking about this halacha, this special halacha, based on a pasuk in the Megillah that says, "Akein kaha yudim aprazim garim yoshvim ba'ariya prazot." So the Gemara derives from there that a prazin ben yomo is nikra prazi, whereas for other areas of halacha, residence isn't established in a single day. For Purim purposes, it is. So that fact that we hold that way, the Prima Gadim argues, only applies to the 14th. But the idea that, and we say in the Gemara, a mukaf ben yomo is considered a mukaf. Question is, what does that mean? The Rosh would tell you that it means that if you're in a walled city on the 14th, you're considered a walled city person, and therefore you have to keep Purim on the 15th that year. That's fine. But the question is, does the 15th have that quality? Does the 15th establish a person in a certain way? The example being, if you have a person who ordinarily lives in Tel Aviv and goes to Yerushalayim on the 15th, does he become a Yerushalmi for that day, such that he should be chayav, should be obligated in Purim? So the Prima Gadim said he doesn't think so. He thinks that the inference of the Megillah that leads the Gemara to talk about the fact that if you're in a place for a day, you're considered a resident for Purim purposes, you're considered a resident of that thing, it's from the pasuk of Al-Kaila Yudu HaPrazim. So it's focused on the fact that the unwalled cities established this, and for the Megillah says it's about the 14th, and the 14th is the day that defines it. But by Mukav Ben Yomo, it doesn't say a special pasuk that says it that way, and we just learn it as an extension of the halacha you got out of the pasuk, and therefore he thinks it operates within the framework of the 14th. The Prima Gunim is supporting the idea in the Rush that the 14th is what establishes it, because the Rush is telling in terms of where you are in the 14th, and the Prima Gunim was saying, and that would mean, he thinks that includes that if you're in the 14th, if you are defined as a unwalled resident on the 14th, you can't then also become a walled resident for the purposes of the 15th. And the Prima Gunim says, because if that wasn't true, if I'm wrong, then the Rush and the Tour should have written about a person who was in Tel Aviv, a resident of Tel Aviv, who was in Tel Aviv the whole 14th, and then came to Yerushalayim the night of the 15th, should be obligated to celebrate both. That's what the Prima Gunim argued. But the Rav Pesach Frank isn't sure of that. The Rav Pesach Frank says, we have a Yerushalmi that seems to say the exact opposite, that the night of the 15th can in fact make somebody like a resident of a walled city. I'm not going to get into that Yerushalmi now, just because it's a little technical and it's hard to convey, you know, by audio in this way. But he has a Meiri who seems to say something similar to what the Prima Gunim said, and then seems to contradict himself within the course of like a sentence or two. Remember, the Meiri says, "Mikomakom ben ir shekara beiro." If you have a Tel Aviv resident, somebody who lives in an unwalled city, who reads the Megillah in his unwalled city on the 14th, and then afterwards comes to a krach, comes to a walled city, not going to be obligated. That's what the Meiri says. But that too seems to go against Yerushalmi, because Yerushalmi says that a ben ir she'akar dirato b'leil tedvav, a ben ir, now I think we'll get to it, but here the phrase is akar dirato, moved, not just happened to go to a walled city, but move to one. Meaning, let's say I'm moving to Yerushalayim, right? I'm living in a walled city. I'm moving to Yerushalayim, and I'm very excited, whatever, and I moved to Yerushalayim for whatever reason, however it worked out. Moving day was the late afternoon on the 14th into the night of the 15th. So I moved to the 15th, to Yerushalayim, and I move in on the 15th. I bring my suitcases. I'm living there. So there the Yerushalmi says that you're chayiv in both places. You'd be chayiv in two Purims, in Purim of the 14th, Purim of the 15th. So that seems like even though you fulfilled your obligation in Purim, you have to do it again. And then, to me, this is a clue that there's something that we're missing so far, because the Meiri, he says, it's very difficult to understand the Meiri, because the Meiri has both ideas within like a few lines of each other. The Meiri writes, Ben Ir sheyatza me'iro uba lekrach patur. If a Ben Ir observed Megillah, observed Purim in his city, in Tel Aviv, right, in Ranana, in Haifa, in wherever, in Alon Shvut, I think Alon Shvut, yeah. And then he went from there to Yerushalayim, doesn't have to keep Purim again. But then soon after that, he says, "Uben krach shalach leir naase paruz ben yomo," right? Ben krach, a Yerushalayim person who went to Ranana for Purim, naase paruz ben yomo, is considered to be living in an unwalled city for that day for those Purim purposes, and therefore we'll read with them on the 14th, and then says the Meiri, "Me'acharka chozer l'mkomo." And then when he gets back to his old city, he reads in the old city. We got back to Yerushalayim, and he reads Yerushalayim, because he'll go back to his din of Mukaf. So in other words, the Meiri recognizes that there are times when a Yerushalmi person will be obligated to read twice, and to observe Purim twice. If he leaves Yerushalayim for the 14th, and spends the 14th elsewhere, and then comes back to Yerushalayim, he will have to. So the Rav Pesach Frank says, it doesn't make sense. You just told me that it's not going to be that way. So when I come to see what this means, he says, I think that it means that after we learn from the pasuk that a paruz ben yomo is kari a paruz, that somebody living in an unwalled city just for a day is called an unwalled person, and that would seem to be true of a person living in Yerushalayim, a mukaf ben yomo, just for the day. So it seems to me, he says, that maybe we mean that he's not like a mukaf mamash lechol dvarav. Right? When I spend the 15th or even the 14th in Yerushalayim, that's the only days I'm going to be spending there. It doesn't turn me completely into a Yerushalayim resident. In other words, if a Yerushalayim resident goes to Renana, Tel Aviv, Haifa, you know, wherever, wherever you want to think about it, for a day, when they come back to Yerushalayim, so for that day, they were a resident of the unwalled city for the purpose of Purim. But they come back to Yerushalayim, they're Yerushalayim residents, so they have to keep both, because both are relevant to them. But when a person from, you know, an Alon Shvut or a Be'er Sheva goes to Yerushalayim for the day, so they will be like a mukaf for certain purposes, but not completely. Right? And he thinks Svar helps him because this is a chiddush, this whole idea that one day's resident turns you into, for halachic purposes, a resident of that city for the day. That's a whole novel idea. And that's not how we usually have it. Usually when it comes to changing places, either you plan to move, and then you might be a new resident as soon as you plan to, but you plan to move everything. Right? So we usually think that when you just go for a day somewhere, you're still considered a resident of your old place. And you might have to keep certain chumrot of the new place, but not that you become a resident there. So therefore, it makes sense. We have a principle in halacha that when you have a chiddush, a novel idea, ein lecha bo ela chidusho. You take that novel idea in as limited fashion as you can. So then it would mean that maybe the pasuk only meant that you're like the people that you're there in sense that if you haven't yet fulfilled your obligation of Megillah, you have to fulfill your obligation of Megillah with them. So that would mean that, but if you already have, then you can't then be mitchayev in that because of the din of Mukav ben Yoma, meaning if I lived in Tel Aviv and I heard the Megillah in Tel Aviv, so when I get to Yerushalayim, Mukav isn't going to make me, the fact that I'm now considered a Mukav ben Yoma, it's as if I'm living in Yerushalayim for the day, it can't create an obligation in Megillah. But for the Yerushalmi resident in Tel Aviv, he hasn't heard Megillah yet. So for him, this halacha, this succession, for him, the halacha of being a Prazi ben Yomo, that you're in living in an unwalled city for the day makes you like somebody living in an unwalled city, that can bring with it an obligation to Megillah just because you haven't yet fulfilled an obligation to Megillah. And therefore, you can say that the two statements in the Meiri actually fit very well. If you have a Ben Ir, a Alon Shvut resident, a Be'er Sheva resident, an Eilat resident, who heard Megillah on the 14th twice and fulfilled the obligations of Purim on their Purim, and then they go to a Krach, then they go to Yerushalayim, there's no Chiyuv there because they've already fulfilled their obligation. This whole idea of Mukav ben Yomo and Prazi ben Yomo doesn't create new obligations. It helps you define where your obligation will be fulfilled, but it's creating new obligations because we have no idea of, because the whole idea of Mukav ben Yomo is only when you haven't yet fulfilled your obligation. But if a Yerushalmi person goes to a city without a wall, so then when this halacha comes up, I'm like a resident of the city for now, for this day, and I haven't yet fulfilled my Megillah obligation, so then I do. And then when I go back the night of the 15th, this Yerushalmi resident, when he goes back, he or she goes back the night of the 15th to their place, you have to read it again because that's their real place. Because now they're back in their real place, so they're a resident of Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi have to celebrate Purim on the 15th, and the previous reading won't be relevant to it because now it's not, I'm not, this reading on the 15th for this Yerushalmi resident isn't a function of, we define residence for Purim purposes by the day, it's a function of that's where they live. And so since that's where they live, that's where they have to fulfill their obligation. Because in the situation of where you live there, then that what the obligation be created by your ordinary obligation of that's the place where you live, and therefore it doesn't matter whether you've already heard Megillah or not. Then he quotes, there's a Ramami Panu, which is quoted by the Chida, who disagreed with this, and he didn't understand, who said that a Ben Ir, who goes to a Krach, a Tel Aviv resident, who goes to Jerusalem, if he's planning on going back to his place the whole night of the 15th, even after Chatzot, then in Jerusalem he'll read on the 14th, day, night and day, but if he plans, he says, the Ramami Panu, to be in Jerusalem until the morning of the 15th, then he's made like a Mukav Ben Yomo, and he only reads on the 15th. And even, it'll be true, that even if he goes back to Tel Aviv during the daytime of the 15th, since he let himself be in the Jerusalem all through the night of the 15th, he's considered to be obligated in Purim in those days, and therefore he becomes like a Mukav. Then he says, and if you moved to Jerusalem the night of the 15th, then you're also obligated in both places because you were still living in Tel Aviv on the 14th, and then you moved on the 15th, you're obligated in both places. And a Jerusalem resident who moved on the night of the 15th won't have to keep Purim in either place, because now you think about it, because on the 14th he was a Jerusalem resident, when you moved on the 15th, so since the Ramami Panu seems to think that it's the morning of the 15th that counts, you moved on the 15th at night, you won't be able to get into the place. That's what the Ramami Panu says, and Rav Tzipisach Frank thinks that it doesn't make sense because he thinks he's contradicting himself. Because of Ben Ir, he says, a Tel Aviv resident who goes to Jerusalem and then goes back on the night of the 15th, he says he's obligated in Megillah on the 15th, Laila V'yom. And then he postulates Yerushalmi. Anyway, he has a problem with that. He doesn't know how it happened. Therefore, he doesn't think that that works, and he thinks the way that he said it. So he fundamentally thinks that that the way to think about it is that where you are on the 14th matters, and where you're on the 15th matters somewhat less. So if you're on the 14th and you have not yet fulfilled your obligation in a place where they're going to read it, then you have to read with them. And then if you're a Jerusalem resident and you return to Jerusalem over the course of the night of the 15th, you'll have to read with them too. But whereas if you're a Tel Aviv resident, you celebrated Purim on the 14th, then if you go to Jerusalem on the 15th, it won't matter because you've already fulfilled your obligation. And remember, though, that the Rush and the Ravid had held that if you're in Jerusalem even on the 14th, right, that that's going to establish you as a Jerusalem resident, and therefore, and even if you're not there on the 15th, you're a Jerusalem resident for the Purim that year, and you'll have to read, and you'll read it that way. Although the Ravid thought you'd have to stay over, once you've established yourself as a Jerusalem resident, you'd have to stay over on the 15th and celebrate Purim on the 15th in Jerusalem. So these are some of the opinions that you have around these issues. You have different poskim and poskim in a different way based on all these things. So I don't usually say this, but in this particular case, if you have faced the situation, you'd have to ask your postdoc. But it seems like the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah follow the opinion of and Zvi Pesach Frank, follows the opinion of Rashi and the Ramban, and they think to the Rambam and those poskim who say that they think that the way that we saw it to begin with, they think that the 14th only established in terms of cities other than Jerusalem. But if you're Jerusalem on the 14th, that you might have to, you'd have to read on your own, because if you're going to be back in your own city by the 15th, then you would count only as a Prazi. You wouldn't count as a Jerusalem resident in that time. And these are some of the issues that come up in terms of figuring out what we count as in terms of the observance of Purim, whether it be in a walled city or in an unwalled city. If you're hearing this on Purim again, I thank you and have a happy Purim. And if that helped, you either had or will have a happy Purim. And we'll see you tomorrow. Responsive day for the 14th of Adar. Have a great day and a Simchas Purim to all.